Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Atlanta United loses again. They get a goal right at the death on a penalty, but they continue to struggle to score an open play, and they lose 2-1 to FC Dallas.
Not what fans wanted to hear, Mike Conte, on the call you heard here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yesterday, Atlanta United falling at home in front of the big crowd and a lot of groans coming up from the crowd, some people leaving early. 2-1, the final score. We'll talk about this as we're coming up, and we'll hear from some of the players as we continue on this holiday Sunday morning. So glad you're with us. Sam Crenshaw with you here until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you've been with us, enjoyed our show so far. We've covered a lot of things, talked about the Braves, talked some about Falcons last hour, really got into NFL talk, talked about the draft, and talked about the Falcons schedule. Of course, one of the things we're not too happy about is the way things have been going with Atlanta United. Like I said earlier, we're not being punished for finally winning a major league championship in our town after, you know, going since 1995. We finally got a championship last year, you know, but it's starting out kind of wobbly for our team. It really is. And they just look tentative around the goal. They really do. They're getting opportunities. They are. And with each passing week, you're seeing more of the opportunities as they adapt to the new challenges that they're being faced with to do differently than they've done before. And so, to me, they're grasping those things. They're getting in scoring position. But it seems like something that happened so effortlessly the past two seasons. It seemed to just flowed. When you saw the ball in certain places, you expected a certain result with the team the last 2 years. And the ball is in some of those same places now, and you're not getting that result. I think that's the thing that concerns a lot of people, and a lot of people kind of frustrated with the team. So you usually don't see this happen at home. Mercedes-Benz Stadium has been like a temple of doom for other clubs around the MLS. They dread coming to play here because, first of all, they're facing a very formidable team with very talented team that plays an aggressive style, but also because of the atmosphere that has been created here for all the home matches for Atlanta United. And even through that, this Dallas team came in with a lot of young players who just came in. And, you know, they're young and they're hungry. They're having a good season so far, and they wanted to come in here and get a win, and they left town with a 2-1 win over Atlanta United. What do you think about it? Did you go yesterday? Were you there? Let me hear from you. If you went to watch Atlanta United yesterday, 404-741-0929, what are you thinking? Are you thinking this team is getting close, as people like to say? Or are you at a point you're kind of at a wit's end that we're seeing something we hadn't seen before with our franchise in Major League Soccer? Some of the players talked about it after the game, and Michael Parkhurst had these thoughts about what the team and the team's performance yesterday.
We talked about, you know, wanting to win, wanting to put on a good performance in front of our fans, and not taking it for granted, their support and their attendance. You know, they come here to see us play well and to see us win. So we want to win, especially when we're in front of them. So it's disappointing tonight.
Michael Parkhurst talking tonight. You know, not used to hearing Atlanta United players mention the fans in that manner. Because it's been this tremendous love affair with this team, and just the impression that has been made, the overall production, the feeling that you get when you go. If you haven't been to a match, you go and you just get a good feeling about where you live, because that's what you want to see, the full picture of Atlanta. To me, you get to see it when you go to see Atlanta United, and then to see the team go out and play with the passion that they played with the past two seasons to get victories means a lot. And, you hear Michael Parkhurst mention that and talk about disappointing playing in front of the fans and not taking them for granted. Obviously, that's not the case. And obviously, this team knows that the target's on their back, too. When you win the championship, you are the hunted now. You're not the team that's hunting someone else. And so that's the thing that I guess the adaptation that they have to make. Are they ready? I would think so. You know, the talent is here. Everyone's, is pretty healthy. Maybe readjusting some roles or expectations are taking place. Some people that we're used to seeing doing certain things, we may be seeing them do a little more facilitating, talking about Joseph Martinez now, where we're used to seeing him just being that finisher. I think he's being challenged to be a little bit more. He had some opportunity. He did score with the penalty late, but he did have a couple opportunities that, like I said, in normal circumstances last year, they would have found the net. Didn't this time. So those are some things just to, you watch this team. You want to see them break out of it. Of course, we want to bring you good news here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game because we are the home for Atlanta United. So next up, next Saturday, they take on the Colorado Rapids. And pregame is 5:30, kick at 6 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And hopefully it will have a better outcome. Right now, this team is playing better on the road than home. At least they've gotten a better result on the road in MLS play than they got at home. Julian Gressel had these thoughts about the team as people wonder what's wrong with this team, why isn't it doing better, and what his thoughts are on the team so far.
He actually had a chance. He was a better team, so in that way, obviously, we'll get better. We'll work on some details over the week, and then hopefully next week we can, play like this again and just end up scoring goals.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he was saying as well. Just want to get some goals scored. Julian Gressel saying they still feel like they're the better team and just not getting the better result on yesterday. So everyone's still upbeat. For all the fans, like I said, we heard some groans coming up from the natives yesterday. And were those boos that we heard? I mean, come on, folks. I know we want our team to win, and we're proud of the fact that this team has brought a championship to Atlanta and brought a championship spirit to Atlanta. And that means we want to win. I even saw some fans, I think, got up and left a little early out of the frustration. And it's frustrating to watch, but you better believe it's frustrating for these players as well who've come in and shown themselves to be champions. They have to find a way to finish. And I think that's the big thing with this team. It doesn't look good when they go in and another team comes into your place and within the first 6 minutes, boom, they score a goal. And they're doing it in an attacking style, in an aggressive style, much like we're accustomed to seeing our team play with. They looked a little bit like us out there early in the match yesterday talking about FC Dallas. They came out just threw everything and ended up getting an early goal. And we're like, oh, here we go. And you just look to see if this team can get some opportunities and convert. And there were a lot of near misses, a lot of come closes. You just want to see them get some wins and just get some execute and finish some things off. And I think that's all this team needs, and to do it and put together several of them in a row, get a little string going. And that's what this team has been able to do each and every year since they've been here. The first two seasons, they put together a string of victories. And everyone feels great, and the place is packed and loud and rowdy, and it's a home field advantage. When Atlanta United is playing and everyone shows up like they did yesterday, it's a tremendous home field advantage, and it's a place the teams around the league have wanted to avoid. They do want to come and check out the atmosphere and see if it's true that crowds like this show up in Atlanta, but once they get out there on the field with the team, maybe it's not been so much fun. So now they're showing possibilities. When teams come in to play in this place, you have a chance. And that's the other thing that this team has to compete with now. Speaking of Atlanta United, the other thing they have to compete with, and now other teams around the league are seeing that you can come into Atlanta and get wins over this team. And that's the message you want to stop. You got to get to the place where you're winning them at home. And controlling that and allowing your home field advantage to really, really be that home field advantage and shut things down. So that's what we want to see happen going forward with this team. Disappointing for sure, yes. It is disappointing But at the same time, we feel like that things can go in the right direction, that they are going in the right direction. You just have to finish some things off and get some goals at the end. So that's what we're looking for going forward with this team. So everyone, you know, back away from the fence, back away from the bridge. We're not going to jump off. We're not. We're going to stay on board, stay behind our crew, and stay with them and believe that they're going to rain. It was a long schedule, folks. It's a long, long season. There's a lot of time for things to get turned around and go in the right direction for Atlanta United. And that's what we expect to happen. This team is too good. It's too great. A preparation has been put in place for this team to succeed and be that winning product that people want to go and see, and a team that looks to contend for a championship again for the city of Atlanta. And that's what we want to see. We want to see them go out and contend for the championship once again and hopefully get to play it again here. That would be fun to have that. That was an incredible experience to have the MLS Cup played for here and have the home team win it. And that's what we think and hope the outcome will be at the end of this schedule. So we'll be watching for that. And, of course, all things Atlanta United, we got it for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got podcasts. We got blogs. We have interviews. We'll be at practice. We'll have all those things for you. Go to 92.9thegame.com. Of course, Jason Longshore and Mike Conte will have updates, their observations throughout the week. So tune in and listen for their thoughts on the team, the way the game unfolded, what some things need to be corrected, and what to watch for as this thing progresses, as the season goes on with Atlanta United. All right, later on today, it's also a big day for NBA playoffs. Bo Estes is coming up next. And, of course, yesterday things got a little dicey with the Sixers and Nets. The Sixers beat the Nets yesterday 112-108. They're up 3-1 in that series. The Nuggets were winners over the Spurs 117-103. That series is all tied 2-2. Milwaukee's got the broom out. They're ready to put this sweep on Detroit. They're clearly the superior team. They look in the East right now. Milwaukee 119-103. They beat Detroit Pistons. And the Rockets get the win over the Jazz late last night, 104-101. Houston's up 3-0, commanding advantage in that series. Those were games coming up yesterday. Coming up today, we have four more games coming up. Boston is playing at Indianapolis. They have a chance to shut down Indiana. They're up 3-0 in that one. Warriors and Clippers. Golden State up 2-1 in that one. They're playing in Los Angeles. 7 o'clock start. Raptors and Orlando Magic. They're playing in Orlando. Toronto's up 2-1 in that series. And 2-1 Portland leads OKC. They're playing in OKC in that series. That's a 9:30 start. So those are the four games coming up on this Easter Sunday. We're going to get some thoughts on the NBA postseason. Are you watching it? Are you enjoying it? And what's up with a little physicality? You guys like to mix it up a little bit. And there was a basketball thrown in the direction of an official last night by a player. Woo! We're going to talk about that. Bo Estes is going to join us next from NBA.com. Going to talk about the NBA playoffs, what's happened so far, what we look for going forward. You stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. 9 floors up in the Kia studio. Sam Crenshaw with you on this holiday Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday morning. And it's also a game day Sunday because, yes, the Braves are playing later on today, but the NBA is playing throughout the day. Four more games in the NBA postseason on the schedule for you today. And a guy who's keeping an eye on it all joins us now on the waitforit.com hotline from NBA.com. Bo Estes. Bo, good morning to you.
Good to be with you, Sam. How are you doing?
Great to be with you. Great to hear you. And I don't know your thoughts are with these NBA playoffs. Does it seem like people are getting more easily agitated, or is it always this way? It just seems like people are brushing elbows and throwing some things like yesterday with the Nets and Sixers. A little more this season.
I just think NBA basketball in the playoffs is borderline a different sport. It's tougher defense. it can be slower. It's definitely more physical. So you start to see this. You know just as well as I do that the NBA doesn't want to see those emotions spill over into the stands like they did yesterday in Brooklyn. I mean, that's where it gets a little bit scary. But I tell you what, that I expect to see tough basketball. I expect to see physical basketball. And, you know, if you're a younger team and this is your first foray into the playoffs, I think it can be a bit of a shock. I think it can be, you know, a figurative, not a literal punch in the mouth. But it's a wake-up call for younger teams when they get hit and they get hit hard in the playoffs. But for those of us that are older, like myself, this is a little more reminiscent of that 90s basketball that was more physical, that was a little bit tougher, that was, you know, just a different sort of sport, honestly.
It was. And you think about that. You talk about guys from that era, and one guy I talk to sometimes, like Kevin Willis, who played for the Hawks, you talk about him playing now. He says, it's just different now, man. You can't touch those guys now the way they did when he was in the league, and you had the like Detroit Pistons, the Bad Boys, those guys. You know, you go up in the paint, man, you end up picking up teeth off the floor.
No, I agree. I think in the paint it was certainly very physical. I mean, you meet a guy like Kevin Willis, and you know how physical that guy could be just in his physical presence. But sure, it was tougher in the lane. And I think the big difference to me is that the way that those guys have freedom of movement around the perimeter, it increases the value and enhances the skill level for somebody like a perimeter player like Steph Curry, who, you know, if you don't touch him on the perimeter, boy, he's going to just destroy you with those three-point shots. And it's been discussed a ton, but that's the sort of change in the sport that we see visually. You can see that those players have unrestricted movement on the perimeter. And I think, you know, honestly, Sam, I think it gets a little tougher in the playoffs for those guys out there, but down low, it gets a lot tougher. You know, the whole melee yesterday started in Brooklyn when Joel Embiid hacked Jared Allen, and it was a hard foul, but it was nothing shocking. It wasn't that physical. But Jared Dudley came in and took umbrage, and that's where things escalated.
Yes, they did. Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Bo Estes. You can follow him, by the way, on Twitter. He is on social media at NBA Bo.
Oh, yeah.
At NBA Bo, he is on social. You can follow him there. Any surprises right now? I'm seeing Milwaukee doing what I'm thinking Milwaukee's going to do. Golden State, did they look vulnerable to anything with losing Boogie Cousins and losing that big lead? Have they shown that they are a little bit beatable?
I mean, I think they are beatable, but I think it's as much the improvement of other teams as it is them. Sam, you remember that third year of going for a three-peat is always the most difficult one to me. I remember back to Michael Jordan in 1998. That last three-peat that they went through was an uphill climb. I mean, they barely got home. And I think Golden State's going through some of that. Their talent is certainly there. Even though they lose Boogie Cousins, they brought in Andrew Bogut. They don't need scoring out of that center position. They really don't. But he knows how to pass. He knows how to space. He was their leading rebounder in their last game against the Clippers. And they woke up against the Clippers in Game 3 down at Staples in L.A. Kevin Durant was a different player in that game. And they needed him to be because, you know, you look back to Game 2, the game they lost. Kevin Durant, who is, by my estimation, the best natural scorer of this generation, took just 8 shots. That's inexcusable to me. I can't imagine a scenario, particularly if you're losing the game where Kevin Durant only gets 8 shots. Now, he says he was playing within the flow of the game. That's fine. Change the flow of the game if you're Kevin Durant. I don't care. So he goes from 8 shots in Game 2 up to 23 shots in Game 3, and they absolutely light up the Clippers. They win it 132-105. I'd expect more of that from Golden State. And I think the truth about Golden State is, particularly since Kevin Durant's joined, is they really need him when this basketball style sort of changes in the playoffs. And down the stretch, that's a guy that can really, really push them over the line. Now, as far as surprises early on in the playoffs, you know, I think that day one, that opening day in the Eastern Conference, you have Toronto losing to Orlando. That sort of shook people up out of the gate. So there were some upsets out there, but I think it's starting to even out quite a bit right now.
Spend some time on the waitfor.com hotline with Bo Estes from NBA.com, NBA TV, talking about the postseason and the playoffs. Houston wins last night despite a very slow start by James Harden. Does that matter with this team? And can this team be a team that can give Golden State trouble and possibly beat them?
Well, I tell you what, I'm of the view, and there are certainly divergent views on this. I'm of the view that them being the four seed is actually better for them if you just consider the matchup with Golden State, because they'll get Golden State in the second round, assuming they advance past Utah. They'll get them right away, so there's less chance that they'll be injured. Golden State now, obviously, having lost Boogie Cousins for the year, that makes it very tough for them. I think the challenge for Golden State is just going to be adapting flow-wise, because they got used to Boogie, now they have to get used to living without him. But I certainly think Houston has something for the Golden State Warriors. They beat them in the season series this year. The Rockets came out last night and they shot their worst percentage of the series, 38.4 against Utah, and they still went on and won. Now, I think the interesting thing with Houston going forward is that Utah has played a real junk defense. They've almost played behind James Harden and forced him to drive rather than taking that step back three. And I wonder, particularly in Game 3, with how poorly he shot. He started last night 0 of 15. That's the worst playoff start for field goals in a game in NBA history. I wonder if other teams at least look at incorporating some of that, that junk defense that Quinn Snyder and the Utah Jazz have come up with. Because it's a real, if you haven't seen it, it's a really different look. And it certainly at least has caused James Harden to think about what he's doing out there on the court.
Yep. Over in the East now, and I mean, the Celtics are on the verge of sweeping the Pacers today. Is this the Celtics team that we thought we were going to see? Are they finally there? Are they finally on the same page? Seems like it's taken them all season to get there.
Well, I think it's a great point, because you looked at them on paper and you thought, boy, this is a team of all-stars or future all-stars that they're just going to throw out there on the court, and they're going to have something for anybody, and then they come in as the four seed in the regular season. But I think the impressive thing for me is now in the playoffs, and he's got experience, Kyrie Irving is sort of taken over for that team, and he's leading the way. He's averaging almost 24 points a game for the Boston Celtics. And, you know, for the Indiana Pacers, you almost feel a bit sorry for them, because for the most part, they were Victor Oladipo's team. Right. And they were the three seed when he got hurt. They fell down to the five seed after his injury, and so they're chasing Boston. But if Boston has the local kid Jaylen Brown playing well, if they have Jason Tatum playing well, Al Horford, we in Atlanta know all about the talent that he has. And his role in Boston isn't to be primary scorer. It's defense and scoring and rebounding. I mean, if he's a 14-9, 14-10 guy, he's doing his job well. So I think the Boston Celtics have depth of talent. I think they have options, and I think they have a great coach in Brad Stevens. So I think they are a threat in the Eastern Conference, but I think the Milwaukee Bucks are the team to beat, honestly.
If people talk about Milwaukee and the fact that there's Antetokounmpo, but there's so much more there, and they got a strong supporting cast coming off the bench too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think obviously they have a second all-star in Chris Middleton, and not a lot of people know his name. He's almost like, for years, Atlanta had an all-star in Paul Millsap, but he was a name that people didn't forget or remember. Yesterday, Giannis got himself in foul trouble. Chris Middleton dialed up 20 points. Brook Lopez, who is a big man who now can shoot, was 3 of 7 from distance. He tosses in 19 points. And, you talk about their bench. Their bench really is... it's stacked with big guys who can shoot, which is the modern NBA. Ersan Ilyasova spent some time in Atlanta. He's a guy who came in and did well for them last night. Nikola Mirotic, another player with a lot of size and talent and the ability to shoot. So they can just keep throwing guys at you. And even if these guys aren't elite defenders, they do have that size and they do make it tough for you. And then we haven't even mentioned their point guard, who's dynamic, athletic, and can get a shot anytime he wants, and Eric Bledsoe. So it's not a team just loaded with superstar names, but it's a team that fits well together. It's a team with size. It's a team that can defend, and it's a team with options. They're young, they're hungry, and they're well coached. So I tell you what, Milwaukee is a team looking ahead, if Golden State's to make it that far, they'd match up and they'd have something for the Warriors.
Yep. And oh, by the way, we are familiar with that coach from here in Atlanta. Spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline with Boesies. One more thing before you, let you go. Philadelphia, what's the deal there? I mean, to me, they're the team that I thought would be the team in the East that would shaping themselves up to be the dominant force. Seemed like they've had a hard time getting out of their own way at times.
Yeah, trust the process. We've heard it for years and years and years and years. At some point, you wanted to see the gear shift, and I think the gear has shifted. I mean, they were a playoff team last year. They're a playoff team this year. But you sort of expect with a starting lineup like they've got, when you go Ben Simmons at 6'10", Joel Embiid at 7', whatever, then a guy Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick. I mean, that's a star-studded lineup right there. They're up in their series over the Brooklyn Nets, 3-1, but it's been a hard fight. It really has. And, you know, how do they advance through the rounds of the playoffs? Because next up would theoretically be the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard. That's where they lost. That's where Philadelphia lost last year. I think if Philadelphia could get to the conference finals, that's a pretty good year for them. But talent-wise, they match up with anybody. They really do. I think they have an ability that is unique. But the challenge for them is, you know, it's pretty easy to know what Ben Simmons is going to do. He's never going to shoot an outside shot, so you can lay off him. But again, he is 6'10", and once he gets going in transition, his ability to pass, his physical talent really makes them tough. What can he do in the half court? Is there a way, sort of like Utah has done with James Harden, is there a way to defend him and shut him down, or at least slow him down and limit Philly's options? I think it's possible. So until they really solve that, and you know, I don't know that Ben Simmons is ever going to be a great shooter, but until he becomes sort of at least Giannis's level of a shooter, I think Philly's going to have some problems with junk defense and teams sort of trying to scheme against them. But, you know, they're certainly a second round of the playoffs team and going further, probably a conference finals team. And just a step away from reaching up and reaching towards a championship like Milwaukee and like Golden State and like some of those other clubs.
Yeah. Bo, thanks so much for spending some time with us on this holiday Sunday morning. I know you're up late last night, so thanks for spending some time with us, my man.
It's your turn tonight, Sam.
All right. That is Bo Estes. You can follow him once again on Twitter at NBA Bo, at NBA Bo. Coming up next, there's golf the week after Tiger. Yes, there's golf after Tiger. There's even some in town. And a guy we used to seeing doing some other sport is playing and keeping some very special company today. That's coming up. We continue here on this Game Day Holiday Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Reminding you, coming up later today from 2 until 4, we're going to talk the NFL draft with Paul Crane and Dave T. Thomas. They're going to be here, and it's going to be a lot of fun to hear their insight about the draft. Dave T. Thomas and the way he delivers it is in his own impeccable style, but the knowledge you're going to get about what teams may do, what players are better fits for certain teams, and who he would put in certain situations. He will share it all coming up later on today from 2 until 4 o'clock. So you want to tune in for that more draft talk. We heard something from him earlier in our show as he was on the morning show earlier this week with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas and talking about his role and really giving Hugh some exposure coming out of tiny Central State in Ohio, getting him a chance to play out in the Hula Bowl. He saw the possibilities for him, and sure enough, Hugh Douglas delivered in that and had a tremendous pro football career, and also I was recently inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame. But Dave T. Thomas has an impeccable way of doing those things and scouting and information, so you will enjoy it. It's coming up later on today from 2 until 4 p.m. There's also golf going on today. Yes, folks, there's golf after the Masters. I know last week, my goodness, what a finish and what a week, what a 4 days down at Augusta. What a really weak kind of like a week and a half down in Augusta when you consider the fact that they had a women's amateur event. Obviously, they had the event, the event with the kids on Sunday morning that they've had. That's become so popular, and then the tournament itself. You know, that was the thing, and survived some possibilities of some inclement weather. They moved up the starting times last Sunday, and we saw the tremendous comeback by Tiger Woods. So people have, that's been the big conversation all week long about that, about its impact on sports. What have we seen like it before as far as comebacks in different sports? And only a certain number of sports allow for a comeback after being away from that sport for a time. You just don't step back out onto a field or back onto a track or back onto a court and instantly, automatically perform up to the way you had before. So only certain sports, I think, really allow us to do that. We've seen it in boxing with people like Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. We've seen that happen. But this is something, you know, to be so different for someone to kind of be away from it, to not even know if they're going to be able to compete at a certain level, and then to go on and get the victory. So Tiger did that. The count on to the Golden Bear is back on. Jack Nicklaus's 18 major tournament victories. Tiger Woods now with 15. Looks like Tiger will be back in action in 2 weeks up at Charlotte for the Wells Fargo Championship, and that will be a tune-up before the PGA. So that's what's coming up, I think, next on the schedule for him. Meanwhile, they are playing golf this week. They're in Hilton Head, and the name atop the leaderboard is the name you would expect to see atop the leaderboard. Dustin Johnson, at a round of 68 yesterday, he is at 10 under par, has a one-shot lead over Ann Poulter, another golfer who had a fine round last weekend at Augusta as they play the Heritage. And that's always kind of a, I don't say it's a break because they're still going to compete. But after a week in Augusta that's really intense and a lot of pressure and the way that tournament goes and how badly, if you're in a contention, you want to win it. You have a chance. So I won't say they take it easy, but they do kind of take it a little bit easier down at Hilton Head, and see some other names on the leaderboard like Rory Sabatini is up there. We see Matt Kuchar is at -7, so he's just 3 shots off the lead. We watch some of the golfers that were playing well last week at Augusta that are there and continuing to play this week. So that tournament wraps up, and they got off schedule a bit because they got some bad weather and rain, just like we did here. But they're going to try to finish things up there today. And looks like Dustin Johnson with the rounds of 68, 67, and another 68. He could be a guy that gets the win this week. Also, closer to home up at TPC at Sugarloaf, the Champions Tour is playing up there, and they're going to get started. They had to hold some things up for the weather as well, had to finish their first round play of yesterday and then play the second round. So Scott McCarron, who won there twice, when the regular tour played at Sugarloaf, is at 6 under par, had a 68 that he finished up for the first round, now 70 for the second round. So he is at -6 with a 3-shot lead over Rocco Media as they get ready to play later on today. And some stars, some of the greats of the tour are playing up there this weekend. And along with John Smoltz. John Smoltz is playing a Champions Tour event. He played one earlier this year, and he's getting a chance to play this one in his hometown. Smoltz, the opening round, 80, second round, 74. He is at 10 over par. And you may say, well, that's kind of rough, but there are not that many red numbers at this tournament. I mean, there's the course up at Sugarloaf. Who's winning the tournament? The course is winning the tournament because there are only not that many numbers. Red numbers, even par or below. Now, because John Smoltz is where he is, he'll be in a tee-off group that will go off on 10 at 12:39. If you want to go out, it's a beautiful day to go out and really catch some golf. It's going to warm up some today if you want to go out to TPC Sugarloaf. And John Smoltz is going to be in a threesome today. They tee off at 12:39, and they will start off 10. He's in a threesome with Mark Calcavecchia and Tom Watson. Now, that's going to be something to be out there, play with a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats. John Smoltz is going to be in the threesome with Mark Calcavecchia and Tom Watson today. That, to me, that's worth going and following just to go and see if you go out and watch some of the golf out there today. So that's a little something extra added for sports fans of this area if you were to go out and follow the golf tournament, obviously. But to go out and follow someone that we've seen perform so well and, his excellence obviously as a pitcher with the Braves for many years and now a baseball Hall of Famer. And he's just a remarkable athlete when you think about Smoltz. And also he's outstanding. He was an outstanding basketball player. Don't know how his hoop game is these days. But he has been working at his golf game and has played a number of events and he's got a chance to play some Champions Tour. So he is playing there later on today if you want to go out and catch some golf at Sugarloaf. Put some comfortable shoes on. That place is quite a walk, though. It's uphill, downhill. It's a long layout. But with the rain gone away now, not a cloud in the sky. I wish you could see my view. Here, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios in lovely Midtown. It's a beautiful, beautiful view out, and hope that you all are enjoying your day and having a wonderful holiday. Wonderful holiday morning. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 10 o'clock. Greg Clarkson's usually here. Greg is away. He bailed on as he snuck out, and, you know, we didn't get to catch him before he got away. So we're going to find out exactly where he is. And we got Bo on the other side of the glass, and his microphone doesn't work. So you know, what's up with that? Bo, it's a long mic's matter. There you go. Freedom mics. We want freedom for the mics. Headed for the top of the next hour, we're going to get some Braves conversation. Corey McCartney is going to join us from Fox Sports South. Talk about the Braves, and they get ready to play one more game in Cleveland on a game day Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.